Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the sweet and loving name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank and praise God for giving me this blessed opportunity to exhort a few words from the Word of God this morning. COVID-19 is something that has gripped the whole world with fear. Many of us, on a day-to-day basis, as frontline workers, are exposed to patients and to the virus. There's something that we all need in these days. That is the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." So this sermon is about experiencing the peace of God in our hearts. And there are 7 keys to enjoy this peace. The first, possession. John 14 verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The Lord wants us to regard His peace as a treasure and a possession He has left for us to enjoy in this world. Jesus did not leave behind any wealth or material possessions for His disciples when He left this world. He left His peace with them. This peace is a treasure for us to enjoy in this life. This is not the peace that the world gives. This is the peace of God which should rule our hearts. We should not allow fear, worry, anxiety and doubt to dominate our heart and cause us to live miserable lives. So in these days, let us possess the peace of God as a possession or as a treasure. Now the second key is purification. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord wants us to enjoy the peace which gives from a pure heart, which is cleansed from all sin and justified through faith in Christ. A sinful and guilty heart can never enjoy peace. Only when the sins are washed in the blood of Jesus and the heart is made pure can there be true peace. And once that is done, the peace of God will rule our hearts when we are justified by faith in Christ. The third key to peace is prayer. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God." Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Lord wants us to enjoy the peace that passes all understanding by casting all our burdens upon Him in prayer. We need not be worried about anything. We can make all our requests known to God through prayer and thanksgiving. We can transfer all the burdens that are heavy on our hearts into the hands of God, and we can rest in the assurance that He will take care of them. Then the peace of God that passeth all understanding will rule in our hearts. The fourth key to peace is power. Romans chapter 16 verse 20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." The Lord wants us to enjoy the peace that comes through the demonstration of the power of God in destroying the works of the devil. The God of peace will soon bruise Satan under our feet. All these satanic attacks on our life to destroy our peace will be crushed by God. When the disciples were traveling in the boat with Jesus, a great storm arose that threatened to destroy them. But Jesus rebuked the storm and brought a great calm. Through the power of God, which destroys the works of the devil, the peace of God will rule our hearts. The fifth key is being peacemakers. The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." The Lord wants us to enjoy peace through peacemakers who help in removing needless disunity and disagreements. The Lord wants His children to be instruments of peace who will bring peace in conflicts and troubled situations that we are facing now. We should not be the cause of division and confusion, but should be peacemakers. Through love and mercy and understanding, we can be a peacemaker. Through peacemakers, the peace of God will rule in our hearts. The sixth key is being pious. The book of Acts chapter 9 verse 31 says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. The Lord wants us to enjoy the peace which comes through piety and godliness. The church experienced great persecution at the hands of Saul, but God transformed Saul into Paul, and he became a godly man who followed Christ. As a result, the churches experienced great peace and rest, and were edified and walked in the fear of God, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There will be no peace when there is no edification and fear of God. So through piety, or being pious, or showing reverence to God and godliness, the peace of God will rule in our hearts. The seventh key is perception. Book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." The Lord wants us to enjoy the peace which comes as a result of spiritual perception and thinking. When we are spiritually minded, it brings life and peace to us. If we are carnally minded and worldly in our thinking and perception, it will bring death and destruction to us. Our very thinking and values should be spiritually oriented in line with the Word of God. Then the peace of God will rule in our hearts. As Christians, we experience situations that could bring perplexity and turmoil, just like the situation that we are in these days. Jesus never said that we would no longer have trials after making a decision to follow Him. He did, however, leave a promise that we could experience peace because of Him. By applying three elements found in the scripture, believers can experience the peace of God in their lives. The first element is release the burden, and that's something is so hard for us as Pentecostals to do. The first is to release the burden. God alone is able to make a way in difficult situations. He has the power to sustain, deliver, preserve and heal His people. It is vital that we know how to tap into His presence and receive His peace in duress. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 shows that prayer allows us to transfer our burdens unto the Lord. Prayer is a means by which we release our burdens to God. 1 Peter 5, 7 instructs us to cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Now there are two areas in our lives that are affected when we encounter difficulty. Again, coming back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now the heart shows affections or emotions. Now the reference to heart here means our emotions, our feelings, our affections. What happens when we are in the midst of perplexing circumstances? Our emotions are affected. Might include confusion, doubt, fear, anxiety, sadness, and despair. A wide range of emotions makes us feel like as if we are on a roller coaster, but our emotions can change just as quickly as the weather in Canada, and it affects our ability to make sound decisions. Now the second is the mind, thoughts, logic, or the place we reason things out. Our minds are also affected. These are our thoughts, the place where logic and reasoning occur. When stress is present, our minds immediately work overtime trying to find a solution. So this can lead to a burnout or physical problems such as headaches or many other diseases. As a result, we do not enjoy the life of God that God has given us. Philippians 4 shows through that prayer we receive the peace of God. This protects our hearts and minds from the turmoil of heavy burdens. Now prayer is both prevention and cure. Prayer is a means of both prevention and cure. With prevention, it maintains our inner sanctum so problems do not cause peace to flee. Psychological studies have proven that people who pray are less likely to need counseling by any means. Their mental welfare is healthier than those who do not pray. The book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prayer brings healing, cures to the ailments of mankind, mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional as well. The book of James chapter 5, 13 says, "If any among you is afflicted, let him pray." Now the second element is rely on God. This is done through trust. This word means to flee for protection, or to confide in, or to have hope and make refuge. Fleeing to someone for protection signifies a reliance on that person for help or aid. It means putting your welfare into their hands. But the question is, who will you trust? Now, trust is an active decision that we make. Trust is a decision that we make and carry out. It's an act of our will. So God doesn't force us to trust Him. He compels us to trust Him. He gives us examples in the scripture and performs works in our lives to show that He can be trusted. It is we who must choose to trust in Him. Now let us join the psalmist as in Psalms 31 verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. Now trust requires several things for us. Waiting on God for His solutions and His timing. Look what happened to Sarah. Genesis chapter 16. It requires waiting on God for His solutions and His timing. Once we have given over our cares and decided to trust Him, we have to wait. We don't always like to wait. We want our solutions now. Now Genesis 16 is a perfect example of what happens when people get impatient. Sarah and Abraham had been promised a child. Sarah grew weary waiting on the promise and devised her own plan. As a result, her handmaiden conceived a son through Abraham. And we all know what happened. It ended up in disaster when God's real promise came through. Perhaps there is something that God has promised you, but we shouldn't be impatient. God's solutions comes in His timing. So wait for God's plan because it is the best one. Trust requires a mindset change. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So naturally our minds do not stay on God. Many things fight for our attention. Trusting in God requires that we fix our thoughts on God, His purposes and His word. The third element is remember His faithfulness. Remember where He's brought you from. We can do this by looking back on what He's done in our lives. So it builds our faith through hope. It replaces fear with boldness. Let us remember the promises He's made to you. Not only should we remember what God has done in our lives in the past, we should do well to remember the promises of where He's taking us in the future. So it will keep you pressing on toward that goal. So if God has called you to do a work, stand firm in that word. Believe that the one who is able to sustain you is also able to bring that calling to pass. God is able to perform His word and is faithful to do it. So if you are struggling or if doubt has risen in your heart, hold on to the promises of God. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God has begun a wonderful work in our lives. He is faithful to complete the good work in you and me. Life's challenges and demands pull at us from all sides. Many here are facing decisions about the future, the financial crisis that we are in these days, the stress at work, troubled hearts about matters such as unsaved loved ones, or even physical problems. But God is able to give you His peace today. As you release your burdens, rely on Him and remember His faithfulness. May God bless us with these words. Praise the Lord.